Thank you, and good morning. Welcome once again to the radio program from the Independence Baptist Church of Forestell, Missouri. We're glad you're listening this morning, and it is our prayer that you receive a blessing from hearing another portion of the precious Word of God. We would like to take this opportunity to invite you to our church services today. Our Sunday school begins this morning at 10 o'clock with regular classes for all ages, and we know that you can feel free to bring your families, bring your Bibles, and study the Word of God in our Sunday school classes this morning. At 11 o'clock this morning, we have our morning worship services, and you're invited to come to this service. At 4 o'clock this afternoon, we meet again for our afternoon prayer service, and then at 4:30 for our evening worship. Our midweek Bible study is at 7 o'clock each Wednesday evening, so you're invited to come to these services, and we know that you'll receive a blessing from being in the house of God. And we understand that if you want to hear the truth of what the Bible says, then you can come to the services at the Independence Baptist Church. This morning we would like to bring a message concerning evangelical dropouts. That is, people that say that they're saved and yet drop out of really serving God. This leads me to say this, that it's very easy to get somebody to say yes. It's more difficult to bring someone through a gestation period to discipleship, to true discipleship. There's a real curious problem today in the evangelical world, one that poses some very sobering questions for the true local church and for the individual believer. The problem, in brief, is this. A great army of personal soul winners has been mobilized to reach the populace for Christ. They are earnest, zealous, enthusiastic, and persuasive. To their credit, it must be said they are on the job. And it is one of the phenomena of our times that they rack up an astonishing number of conversions. But the problem is this. The conversions simply do not stick. The fruit does not remain. 6 months after a supposed conversion of believing in Jesus Christ to the personal salvation of that individual, there is nothing to be seen for all the aggressive evangelism. Something is very desperately wrong. What lies behind all of this malpractice in bringing souls to birth? Well, strangely enough, I believe part of it lies in a valid determination to preach the pure gospel by the grace of Christ. The desire is to keep the message simple, uncluttered by any suggestion that man can ever earn or deserve eternal life. Justification is by faith alone, apart from the deeds of the law. Therefore, the message is only believe. And that is the message that Paul and Silas gave to the jailer. Well, from those conclusions, we reduce the message down to a very concise formula. And a lot of people, instead of preaching the entire gospel, preach a very, very simple gospel. For example, it goes something like this. The soul winner would ask the person, "Do you believe you are a sinner?" "Why, sure I do," the person would reply. The soul winner would say, "Do you believe Christ died for sinners?" And the person would say, "Yes." The soul winner would say, "Will you receive Him as your Savior?" The person says, "Yes." The soul winner declares, "You're saved." The person says, "I am?" "Yes," the soul winner replies, "the Bible says you are saved." Well, at first blush, the method and the message might seem above criticism. But as we look at this message, we need to understand that there's some things left out of the message. What are some of the things that are left out? The missing ingredients are these. Number one, the first missing ingredient is repentance. You see, there can be no true conversion to salvation without a conviction of sin. It is one thing, now listen, it is one thing for a person to agree that they are a sinner. It is quite another thing for that person to experience the convicting power of the Holy Spirit in their life. Unless there is a Spirit-wrought consciousness of an utterly lost and hopeless, helpless condition, there can never be saving faith. It is absolutely useless to tell unconvicted sinners to believe on Jesus. You see, when Paul and Silas told the Philippian jailer to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, they did that because he was already repentant. He had already came in and called for a light and fell down before them and brought them out from the place where they were. He already had repented. Therefore, he needed the message of believe, and that was enough. Sometimes the gospel is so sugar-coated that the fallen condition, the helpless condition, the sinful condition of man so de-emphasized that the Word of God cannot be received with deep conviction. It can be received with joy, yet a joy that has no deep roots and the person would endure for a while, but soon would give up all of their faith when persecution comes along. You see, when the root is not deep, as in Holy Spirit conviction, we have forgotten. By and large, religious world by and large has forgotten that the message is repentance toward God and faith toward Jesus Christ. But there must be repentance before there can be any salvation. A second very serious omission in preaching is the de-emphasis of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Simply taking mentally that Jesus is the Savior misses the point. Jesus is first Lord, then Savior. The New Testament always places the Lordship of Jesus before His Saviorhood. Most religions today say that you can accept Christ as your Savior today and then 10 years from now accept Him as Lord. That's not what the Bible says. Has to say. A third very serious defect of this perverted gospel that we hear today is the tendency to keep the terms of discipleship a secret until a, quote, decision, unquote, has been made for Jesus. But our Lord never did this. Jesus always preached about the cross, not only the cross that He was to bear, but He preached about the cross that His followers were to bear. He always preached about the crown they were to receive, but they were in balance. He did not preach to them all about the crowns and the glories and the great things that they were going to get and never mention the work, the sweat, the agony, the misery that they were going to have to go through for the cause of Jesus Christ. Jesus never hid His scars in order to win disciples. Jesus revealed the worst along with the best. Then He told His listeners, count the cost and see if this is what you want to do. A lot of people today, a lot of religions, popularize the message and even preach that being saved is fun. That was a popular evangelist saying a while back. He's now off the scene, needless to say. The result of keeping the truth hidden from people is that a lot of people say that they believe without knowing what they believe. In many cases, they have no doctrinal basis at all for anything about salvation. They do not know the implications of commitment to Jesus Christ. They have never experienced the miraculous, the mysterious, the saving work of the Holy Ghost in regenerating power. And then, number four, we have those people who are talked into a profession because of the slick salesmanship techniques of the soul winner. Or there are some people who simply want to please the nice young person with a winning smile. Or maybe there's some who just want to get rid of this religious interloper who has intruded on their privacy. Satan laughs when these conversions are triumphantly announced upon this earth. And the terrible thing about it is that there are souls that are one of these days going to wind up in a devil's hell. They're going to spend their eternity without Jesus Christ, suffering eternally, away from God, being doomed eternally. And the message is so very clear. There are some questions that I would like to raise, some very needed questions that we need to think about. First of all, can we generally expect people to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior the very first time they hear the gospel? Can we really expect people to hear the first time and then accept? We find what the Bible says. Apollos watered, Paul planted, and God gave the increase. And so there's a time span here that Paul in 1 Corinthians 3 verse 6 is talking about. We find that Cornelius, somebody would say, was saved immediately when Peter preached to him. But you also understand that Cornelius was prepared beforehand. He knew that there was something that he needed. We find that the thief on the cross, somebody would say, he was saved immediately. And yet if you study the words that the thief on the cross said, you'll find that he knew more about Jesus Christ and about the kingdom of God and about death and about eternity than a lot of people want to realize. Secondly, can a condensed presentation of the gospel really do justice to so great a message? You try to write gospel tracts and put it down in four small pages. It's very, very difficult to do. I've done some of those. It's very difficult to do. But the message, the gospel message, goes down in many words. It goes down many times as it soaks into people's minds and into their hearts, and the Holy Spirit uses that word upon them. Number three, and I think this is a very important issue that needs to be raised, is all of this pressure for decisions really scriptural? There's a lot of pressure put upon preachers, a lot of pressure put upon church workers and upon churches to have a lot of decisions. Is it really scriptural? Where in the New Testament were people ever pressured into making a profession or a decision or something for Jesus? This practice, of course, people say, well, it's okay if one out of ten is saved, then that's okay. What about the other nine? And then we say, what about all this boasting about conversions? Is it really good? Is it really scriptural? Did Paul keep a record of how many people were saved during his ministry? No, he did not. You see, God kept the record. And that's what really counts. A lot of people today are being fooled into salvation, I'm afraid. But we know that only Jesus can save a soul. If you're lost, trust Him that you might find eternal life in the everlasting arms of Jesus Christ. We do invite you to come to the services at the Independence Baptist Church and listen again next Sunday morning for another radio broadcast. Thank you now for listening.